Well, I'm enjoying myself. I hope you all are too. I've especially enjoyed being with the Kendricks and or the Kearneys. I'll get his name one of these days before we're done. But when you can ask questions and talk, you just learn so much more about a place. And it's exciting to see what God is doing in places around the world. And it's also necessary for us to see what God wants to do, but not doing in places where the gospel hasn't been. So we need a little bit of both, I believe. And so I'm looking forward to telling you more about our ministry over in Texas. Is anybody from Texas? Nobody. Well, I was telling Brother Frederick that you can always tell a Texan, but you just can't tell him much. But you know, I live there, but I'm from Michigan originally, actually. So anybody from Michigan? Okay, yeah, I know that some of you are. Well, there's been some really famous people from Texas. Did you know that George Washington was from Texas? You probably didn't know this, but you know the story of the cherry tree. Well, it wasn't really a cherry tree; it was a pecan tree. And you got to learn to say it right. When I first went to Texas, I called it pecan tree or pecans, and they said it's pecan. Anyhow, it was chopped down and. His dad said, "George, do you know anything about this?" And he said, "Father, I cannot tell a lie. I did it." He said, "What'd you say, George?" He said, "I cannot tell a lie. I did it." He said, "Come on, George, we got to get out of here. We better go to Virginia or someplace. You'll never make it here if you can't tell a lie." You knew that was a joke when I started, I hope. But Texas is kind of a special place, and if you don't believe it, just go there and they'll tell you. But we began last night talking about missions and just asking and answering, hopefully answering some questions about missions. And mission conference time is a good time to think about missions and to examine what we're doing as a church and what I'm doing as an individual and what needs to be done and what's not being done. We talked about the what of missions. Missions or world evangelism is simply getting the good news of the gospel to people that have never had it before. That's what Jesus wants done. He made that very clear. And so the why of missions, why do we want to be missionaries? And, you know, I'm glad to be a missionary. I'm not on the field right now, the foreign field. I wish I could be in many ways, but God has us doing something else. But sometimes I dream or daydream about just going back and starting over. I wish I could. But why? What motivates us? We should be motivated by, just obedience to Christ. This is what he said to do. Right. And certainly we need to be involved in doing it. And gratitude. I think about that all the time. Out of all the people in the world, God has allowed me to hear the gospel. And I don't know. I mean, but to whom much is given, much shall be required. And we have been given much. I mean, we have prosperity. We have education. We have the Word of God. We have so much. But God didn't give us all that just to sit back and enjoy it. He gave it to us to distribute to the world. So, and of course, compassion. Just having compassion ought to motivate us. We heard a a good chapel service today, and we were reminded about the subject of hell. I told Dr. Beal, I said, I started to say I enjoyed chapel, and I said, no, I didn't enjoy it. How do you enjoy thinking about hell and people going there? But we need to. We need to be reminded. And it will help motivate us to want to get the gospel to people. I mean, if we should be burdened about people that have heard the gospel over and over and are still lost, how much more burdened should we be for those that have never heard it for the first time? Oswald Smith said, why should anyone hear the gospel twice until everyone has heard it once? Well, tonight I want to deal with the question of a couple more questions, Lord willing, is the where of missions. Well, this is pretty easy. Where should we be involved in missions? Well, in all the world. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's easy enough. Well, it's easy to say, but that's our commission. He said to go to all nations, teach all nations and baptize them and teach them all things that he has taught us. So how are we doing? The hard question is, why aren't we doing all of that? Why aren't we getting the gospel to a lot of places in the world where it needs to go? Well, there are some problems. There's restricted or closed countries. Someone said, there are really no closed countries. You can get in. You might not come out, but you can get in. But you think about Saudi Arabia, North Korea, many places like, and there are other places where they don't want missionaries at all. I'm reminded of the story in Luke chapter 5 of the four men that brought their friend to Jesus. He was taken with a palsy, the Bible says. And you remember the story, they couldn't get in the door and the crowd wouldn't let them in. So what did they do? The Bible says they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. So they sought means. We need to do that in missions. In some of these places, we need to seek means to get the gospel to them. And there are some things that we have today, like radio or the internet. Not that everybody has internet around the world. A lot of people, of course, don't. But we might be able to get the gospel to someone. Maybe there's got to be a way to get it in there. And, you know, I've wondered, there was a fella at BBTI the other day where he's helping us to make a new video. And he's got a drone. Man, that's neat. But, you know, I'm thinking, why don't we take that and go to Korea and fly that thing across the DMZ? I don't know if you could get away with that. If you flew it low enough, could you, below radar, could you do that? I mean, get some Bibles in there, get some God. What about helium balloons? Surely somebody's tried that. You put the gospel message on a helium balloon, it's going to go some. Well, you just have to make sure the wind's blowing the right direction, amen? You don't want it to go out in the ocean. But, we've got to seek means, you know. But there's one thing that I think I've seen a little bit is that people that are so fascinated with technology and computers and they're devising means to get the gospel around the world, and that's good. But some of them, I think, they're using that. They're sitting on their couch with their computer when they need to be out with the people, going to them personally. But we need to, that's why we need everybody involved in missions, because there's a lot of different things that need to be done. There's difficult people groups. That's what the word nations means. It's the ethnos, I guess that's the word in Greek. It that talks about, you know, the Gentiles, the different groups, and that's whom we need to target today. There are a lot of languages. Anybody know how many there are? There are, they tell me, the last I heard, 1,557 or something. That's a lot of languages. And we as Baptists thank God for what we're doing for missions. But I don't think we're doing very well at reaching all these languages. And the problem is, or at least as I see it, is that there are no language schools in most of these languages. Many of them are still unwritten. Unless the missionary knows how to go about learning an unwritten language, or how to learn a language without a teacher, without a book, without a school, then they're probably going to go to a place where they can learn the language. They're going to stay with a trade language. And so that's one area that we need to work on. And of course, that's kind of a advertisement for BBTI, because we teach the missionary how to do these things. But we've got to get people prepared. This work of missions, I believe, I say it all the time, and nobody's corrected me, but I believe it's the most important work in all the world. I mean, what could be more important than taking the gospel to someone that's never heard it before? Especially to a place where nobody else is preaching it, and you give them the Word of God and the gospel message. Well, that's got to be the most important work in all the world. And it's probably one of the most difficult, too. But so there are unwritten languages. I wish I could just sit down and talk. If you're interested, I'll be here all day tomorrow, Lord willing, and Saturday and Sunday. If you're more interested in some of these things, how do you learn an unwritten language? How do you write an unwritten language? If we were to write English scientifically or with what we know today, we would have 44 letters in our alphabet. And we would know how to read and write and spell, and it would make it so much easier. But so we can go to a language that's never been written, and we can develop an alphabet that matches the sounds of their language. Then, of course, we have to teach them to read and write and give them the scriptures. And it's just a vast work that needs to be done. But we need to get out there. We need to go to places where it's maybe more of a challenge. And I think we need to distinguish between need and priority. There's a need no matter where you go. In Bowie, Texas, where we live, it's a town of about 5,200 people. There are 10 Baptist churches in the city limits. Some of them are very small. A couple of them are Spanish-speaking churches and different groups, but I believe any one of them, a fella could hear the gospel and get saved. I hope so. But and then that doesn't count all the charismatics and these little different groups and the Pentecostals and but the other day, somebody showed me a piece of literature from a new church that's starting in Bowie, Texas. Not a Baptist church, I don't think. It was Victory Outreach Church or something. But somebody said, man, there's a need for another church in Bowie, so let's start another church. Well, there's a need, sure. There's a need everywhere. But what should have priority? Paul said, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Paul had the goal of taking the gospel where it had never gone, where people did not know the name of Christ. Now, I think that means more than just that they've never heard those words, but they haven't heard anything about who he is, that he's God come down to this earth to die for our sins. They maybe they've heard the words, but they have no idea of who Jesus is. So we need to go to these places and see the need. Well, we need to see what is happening in missions. I want to share some information with you, and if I'll tell you where I got it. I stole it from the internet site. And I'll tell you what it is in case you want to watch it on the internet. It's a lot more interesting than what I'm going to give you. But as far as the graphics, but this was from Gospel Frontier Missions. I don't know anything about them, except that they've got some information. Their website is gogfm.org. And they divided the world up in three areas or three categories. There's World C, which would stand for Christian. And they said that there's 33% of the population of the world claims to be Christian. I mean, they may be Orthodox, Catholic, and any cult or anything that claims to be Christian. It doesn't mean they're saved. It doesn't mean there's not a need, but at least they're probably an open country and primarily Christian. Now, there may be others within that country, people groups that are not Christian at all. But so 72% of our missionaries are going to so-called Christian nation. Now, probably Ghana would be called a Christian nation, wouldn't it? And it doesn't mean there's not a great need there, but according to them, 72% of missionaries go to these countries. About Christians, they say that they earn about $42 trillion annually. Are you all Christians tonight? Do you make that kind of money? But I guess I don't know how they know that. We're not supposed to ask that question, I guess. But out of that, the Christians, and we're talking about all different groups, they give about $700 billion to all Christian causes, churches, nonprofit things, but also missions. And that is about 2% of what is earned by Christians or people that claim to be Christians. And of that $700 billion, only $45 billion is given to missions. That's about 6%. In other words, of that, all that giving, 6% goes to spread the gospel or whatever they're preaching. So that is about $39 billion. 87% of what is given goes to World C. Then there's World B, and this would make up places and countries where they're not Christian, but there is some gospel witness. There's a great need, no doubt, but they're open to, at least to some extent, and the gospel can be there. They probably have a Bible in the languages of this area. There are churches, 25% of our missionaries go to this type of country or area. And so they give about $5.4 billion, or 12% of all the mission money given goes to these areas. I suppose we could just pick out a country, Nepal, maybe. Not that they welcome missionaries, but there's missionaries there. What other country? Cambodia, Thailand, places like this where they're not closed, and but yet the gospel is being preached. There's at least a chance that someone could hear the gospel. Then there's what they call World A, and this makes up 29% of the population of the world, or roughly 2 billion people that have no access to the gospel. They have no chance to hear the gospel, even though they may be even in a Christian country, but they are isolated linguistically and maybe geographically, and there's no gospel being preached in that language. There's no Bible in that language. And so 3% of the missionaries that go out go to these areas. You see where I'm going? The priority, I think, is getting less missionaries. They say that there are, I have it here somewhere, I think they say that there are every 1,800 Christians is a missionary. It takes 1,800 people that profess Christianity to make one missionary, and that's like 400,000 missionaries of all different types. But World A, they about $450 million is given to missions to this World A, a lot less. And that's about 1% of mission giving goes to reach these unreached, many of them unengaged, many of them Bible-less nations or people groups. And they say that we as Americans, I mean, this is everybody, not just Christians, but everybody spends more on Halloween costumes for their pets than they give to get the gospel to this area of the world. I mean, I don't know what good that information is, except to say that there's a lot that we're not doing. We're not getting the gospel where in some of the places where it needs to go. And so, now you tell me, are we obeying the Great Commission to reach all nations, to evangelize all nations? So I think many of our missionaries are traveling down kind of a well-worn path. They're going many times where there's already opportunity. I'm not saying they're not needed. There's need everywhere. But there's other places that are being neglected. It may be more difficult places. So we need trailblazers. We need pioneers. George Anderson, the founder of BBTI, says that pioneers don't run in packs. We need people, and probably young people. Not that old people can't do it, but I mean, let's face it, if we can go to a city maybe and get around, but going up and down those slippery mountains and walking 6 or 8 hours to get to some village out there, we need some young people. And we need people that are willing to get out there and on their own. We have a graduate from BBTI 2 years ago. He's on deputation going to Iceland. And he told me that in Iceland, there was a time when I think he said about 25 missionaries. I may be wrong about the number, but there are a lot of them. And there was a U.S. Air Force base there. And these missionaries all wanted to hang around and fellowship with one another and fellowship with the other Americans at the air base. And they didn't learn the language. And they didn't, the air base closed down, and I'm sure they all didn't leave at the same time, but now there's one missionary in Iceland, one Baptist missionary, and hopefully soon there'll be another family. But we try to instill in people the idea of, hey, get out there and go where the need is the greatest. Go as far as you can. And God knows what you can, what you're able to do, but don't aim low. I mean, just try to go as far as you can. That's the where of missions. Well, the how of missions. How? What? How are we supposed to do this? Well, Jesus did not tell us exactly how to go about it. He told us what to do, but I think we can figure it out. I mean, we can figure out how to get Coca-Cola into every country around the world. We ought to be able to figure it out. We can put a man on the moon, and they're talking about doing it again. I'm not sure why, but of course, there's a lot of men I would send up there, and some ladies too, but on a one-way trip. That's not very nice to say, but I won't tell you what political persuasion they are of that I'd like to send to the moon. But someone said if you took all the missionaries and lined them up, you know, stacked them up end from end, from here to the moon, that'd be good place for them. Good thing to do. But you know, if I heard just the other day that there was a meteorite. Did anybody hear about that? It was on target to crash into the world. Now, I don't know when, maybe 100 years from now, I don't know, but they could tell it was going to hit the earth sometime. And so they sent a rocket up there. This isn't a joke this time. This is you got to get to know me. So when I'm telling, my wife says when I tell a joke, I got a crooked smile, and if you notice I've got that little smile, you know it's a joke, but I'm not smiling now. But they sent a rocket, and the idea was to crash into that meteorite, not to destroy it, but to just send it a little bit off course, and then it would miss the earth by a long ways. I mean, it's amazing what can be done. It just boggles my mind to think of all of what we can do. I mean, man is pretty smart, amen, as far as doing things. But surely we can figure out how to get the gospel out to where it needs to go. If there were diamonds or gold or even oil in some of these places, then somebody's going to go and find a way to get it, aren't they? In South America, I mean, the oil workers were there probably before the missionaries were. They would risk their lives. Sometimes they would be killed by the hostile tribal people, but they're willing to go to these places to get wealth. So Jesus did give us some guidelines. He said every nation, that is a category. They tell me there's 16,500 and some people groups, just distinct culture. There must be some of them closely related, and they share, some of them share the same language. But there's all, if we could just reach these groups, and we have plenty of Christians that it could be done if we would just set that goal. And then of course we have every language. If we could just get the Word of God in every language. And I don't have time to get into Bible translation. I love the teaching about it and talking about it. You know, we say, okay, this language has a New Testament. Who did it? When was it done? What text did it come from? And what was the method of translation? How many would be satisfied to use a Living Bible, something like that? You know what that is, a paraphrase. There's a bunch of them. I go to garage sales, yard sales, and I'll buy them for a quarter, and it'd be just for demonstration, just for showing what they are. But this is the kind of translation that's going on around the world. And a Baptist missionary probably would go to a place and he would see what it was and he'd say, I can't use this. So even where they say they have scriptures, that doesn't mean they have what we think they ought to have. The need is greater than we think. But Jesus wants to people from every, like it says in Revelation 5:9, they sung a new song, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So that's, we know where to go, and the how is, we can figure that out. And it changes, I mean, from the days of Judson, when they traveled by ship, and when they didn't have all of what we enjoy today. Jesus did tell us that we are supposed to go to both. The commission was given for Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. And that little word both is there. I think what he meant was you don't do Jerusalem and then all of Judea and then Samaria and then the uttermost. You do it all at the same time. That's the work of the church. That's what we need to be working on. So I think also the how is the establishment of indigenous churches. And this is one thing I think we Baptists do understand pretty good. Now, whether we do it or not, we at least profess it. And we know it's what we need to do. And simply we mean we want to build churches that are not American churches in their culture. In other words, they fit in the culture as much as possible. And they are able to support themselves. They're able to continue to grow and train the next generation. They're able to survive without the missionary and without support from outside. This is the idea. And then this is the how of missions. It's very important. And so finances, how do we finance it? Well, we've got money. We've got more money than we know what to do with sometimes. Look at the way we spend it sometimes. And buying Cadillacs and convertibles, wow. But I think we have time and money for what is important to us. And I've seen this. We're building a building there at BBTI, and I am not a money raiser. I don't profess to be, and yet God just gives us money, and we don't beg for it. We let people know where we're at, what we're doing, and they're just the next step. We need the money for the spray-on insulation and the wiring. I guess the wiring goes, I'm not sure which goes first, but somebody knows. But in other words, the Lord will provide. If you say, I can't afford to give to missions, that's a confession that you're not trusting God. Why don't you ask God for it? And even the children, they need to learn to give to missions and get involved. And you say, well, I just don't have much income. God does. And He would delight, I believe, to enable us to take part. It's such a blessing. I wish I had time just to talk about faith promise. It was 1970 when I started giving to missions. And I was challenged to give and taught about the faith promise idea. And I was driving 25 miles one way to go to a Bible college. I would come back in the afternoon, go to the barber shop and try to make a living half a day at a time when men were growing their hair long or longer. Even the guys that weren't hippies, they still didn't go to the barber shop as often as they should have. And I I promised God I would give a certain amount, and I thought, how can I do it? It wasn't much compared to maybe what I'm able to give today, but I got involved. I'll tell you this funny story. Well, it could have been funny, but the preacher that taught it, I don't know why he said this to me. He didn't say it publicly. We were apart. And he said, Rex, he said, if God does not provide what you promised to give, you let me know and I will make up the difference. Well, God did provide, but I wish I would have called him. And his name is Charles Keene. Anybody heard of Charles Keene? I said, I wish I would have called him. He said, now, Brother Keene, the Lord provided all except about $400, or just see what he would do. Of course, I would tell him the truth eventually, but just to see if I could make him uncomfortable or something. But so that's the how of missions. We can do it, but we need to get involved. And there's a place for everybody. And when Ezra. Read Ezra chapter 1. You had all these different people that could do different. There was a need, and there are different people could do different things. And you see that it was they were going on a mission, and they needed supplies. They needed all of these different things. But there was a place for everybody. There was a place for some to go, and there was a place for others to stay and send those who could go and provide them with what they needed. So I want to get into the who of missions, but I don't want to keep you here all night, so and I better save that until tomorrow. But the who of missions. This is where it might get interesting. Who should be involved in missions? I think you know everybody. Every one of us, if we name the name of Christ, I believe we need to be involved in missions. Now, there's three things that you do. I mean, missions is basically three simple things. We pray, we give, and we go. And I think we ought to be, all of us ought to be doing all three of them. We may not go very far. We may not give as much as somebody else. And we may not pray like some people pray, but everybody can be involved in this thing of mission. So it's exciting to me to see you here tonight. I appreciate your faithfulness, and I hope you're excited about this coming year and what you're going to do for missions. Not just giving financially. That's a help, yes. And there's a great need out there for missionaries to get to the field and get there quicker, but just being involved and giving your life and your prayers, and there's just so much. So missions, why should we be missionaries, and how do we do it? Where do we go? Well, we'll save that for tomorrow. Pastor, thank you.